Today on Sound Doctrine, be encouraged by this truth.
David was in God's hands. David was indestructible. Why? Because God was with David. And David wasn't going to be finished until God said he was finished. Did you know that you're indestructible until God's done with you? You are.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Hey, welcome to Sound Doctrine. We're in the middle of our study in 1 Chronicles. And today, Pastor Jeff Johnson approaches chapter 18. Now, if you need to leave us early, remember you can hear us online at sounddoctrineradio.org. God's Word is timeless and how it applies to our lives, and that's not hard to see in the passage before us here today. David is fighting God's battles here, and we'll learn how we are to fight spiritually as well.
So we start off with chapter 18 by going back a little bit because it's necessary. In chapter 17 of 1 Chronicles, of course, we know that Nathan came as a prophet to David, and Nathan told David, "You got a great heart, do whatever you want to do." And Nathan just gave him carte blanche, just go for it. Whatever you want to do, God's going to bless you. That was wrong. So prophets can be wrong. And he gave him the wrong message. So God had to speak to David and say, "David, no," because David wanted to build a house for the Lord. And God said, "No, you're not going to," this is in verse 4, "you're not going to build a house for me to dwell in. And you're not the man." And then in verse 10, it says, in the bottom, last part of the verse, he says, "I tell thee that the Lord will build you a house." Interesting. And verse 11 at the bottom, he says, "And I will establish his kingdom." He says, "I will raise up thy seed, your seed, David, after you, and shall be of thy sons, and I will establish the kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever." So I've got plans, and it's going to be your son, Solomon. He didn't know that right then, but he was the one going to build the house of the Lord. So David, in the last verse there of chapter 17, said, "Now therefore, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever." And that's really the seed. What he's talking about is his house, his lineage, because it's through King David, the son of David, would come the Messiah and bless the world and forever to be blessed. O Lord, it shall be blessed forever. So God's presence would come into Jerusalem. David finally got the ark into a little tent there in Jerusalem. No temple. And David's house would be blessed because the Messiah was coming through him. Now, David, very humble, a man full of faith, we know from his younger years, and he was totally submitted to God, totally wanting God's will. And so now we see David very successful, bringing in the ark, the presence of God, seeking to build up the people spiritually and see them get their eyes upon the Lord and to start following the Lord like never before. That's what he was concerned about. Just like he was concerned about his sheep when he was a little shepherd boy, making sure that all the parasites were off of them and they were fed right and they had good water. He's doing the same thing with the people that he's ruling over, and he wants them to know God. I've only known one man in all the world that ever wanted to do that, and his name was Reuel Smont. And he was the president. How he became president is the Lord. And he was the president of Guatemala. And as he became president, there was all kinds of problems there. And every night he would get on the radio. And I got to go over there a number of times. And we helped out build to the refugees that were running from the armies that were going, that were wild up in the north, killing all the people. There was a civil war going on. And he was in the palace. He invited me to the palace. Got to go meet him there and pray with him. And then, come to find out, I went home and they said he's on TV. And I turned on the TV and there he was giving a Bible study to his people, wanting them to know God. He was a Sunday school teacher at one of the largest Christian fellowships there in Guatemala. And that was his desire. He's the only Christian president in all the world, and I don't know of anyone yet who has done that. Wouldn't that be great? Wow, what a leader to let the people know the word of the Lord and let them experience his presence and his blessing on their lives. So David, a man that's incredible. Second, you can just jot this down. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 is where this is from. This is also mentioned. This story is here in 2 Samuel 7. And it says, it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. He had rest from all his enemies, north, east, west, and south. I mean, what a time. But it took a lot. This is a fulfillment of God's promises to David that he would go forth and fight in the land. He would drive out the enemy. And there's a number of scriptures that I just want to touch on a few. Genesis 15, 18. This kind of takes care of Abraham. It says in Genesis 15, 18, "And in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Go unto thy seed, have I given this land from the river of Egypt, the Nile, unto the great river Euphrates." So that's the land that God gave to the children of Israel. I mean, nobody wants to talk about that today, but that's what God gave them. And that's their land. And he gave it to them. And then over in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "Behold," and this is to Moses now, "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them." So this is their land. God gave them that land in Deuteronomy 11:22. "For if you shall diligently keep all of these commandments," see, there's a victory with a condition. The condition is trust and obey in me, says the Lord. So he says, "If you will diligently keep all of these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave to him, then will I, the Lord, drive out all of these nations from before you, and you will possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon your soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours." What a promise from God. If you'll just seek me, I'm just going to bless you. I'm going to be with you. And then finally, in 1 Kings 4:21, this is now to David. 1 Kings 4:21. "And Solomon," and this is his promise, "Solomon reigned over all kingdoms, from the river unto the land of the Philistines, unto the border of Egypt." You see, God used David to fulfill the promise of what he was talking to Abraham and Moses about. David would be the one that would finally come in and battle those nations and fulfill that promise that the Lord gave. So here we go, chapter 18. David extends his kingdom and he's fighting now God's battles. They sometimes call this chapter David's battles or David's war. You know, it's something when you think everything's going the best and going really good. David's in Jerusalem. He's got the ark in Jerusalem. And there's you know, peace somewhat. But then he's got all of these enemies around him. There's enemies in the land. You know, we got enemies in us. We got enemies around us. And we got to fight the good fight. David fought it physically, but now today our battle is spiritually. Now after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines, subdued them, and took Gath, which there was Goliath was there, and we know what David did to Goliath, and her towns out of the hand of the Philistines. These were the traditional enemies of Israel. And most of these, in fact, all of these nations always took advantage when Israel was weak, they would begin to pick them off one by one, begin to hassle them, begin to come upon them, always driving them. It's that anti-Semitism spirit, you know, kill the Jew. And they would always get into that. Philistines were one of those enemies. And he smote Moab, and the Moabites became David's servants. And they brought gifts. And we remember from the Moabites was Balaam. Balaam is the one that sought to, you know, was going to supposed to curse the people. He couldn't curse them. And every time he opened his mouth, he blessed Israel. And then finally, he got the gumption up to go in and tell Balak, he said, you know, I can tell you how to get rid of these Jews. Just get your beautiful Moabite women and go into their camp. And get them to come down to yours, and they're going to be ripped off. There's something about that that's working even today, isn't it? You know how, and I'm not getting down on the women, but it takes two to do it. And this is what's going on in our society big time right now, in many, many dark places. And in our society, it's one of the worst things that's taken people out, is the lust of the flesh. What an enemy that is to us, guys. Don't get on the internet. Don't go into pornography. Pornography is one of the most wicked things. It'll grab your mind. It'll grab your very flesh. And it'll make you just think things and even do things. I mean, it is very powerful. It's like a moth is drawn to the light, and then it hits that light and is burned up. I've known this lust as nothing but a fire that as you feed it, it gets brighter and hotter and hotter, and it'll destroy you. It'll just burn you up. So that's what Balaam did, and the children of Israel fell for it. But now they've got the upper hand. Now the Moabites are bringing in gifts to them, silver and gold and just all kinds of things, just handed it over to Israel. And David smote Hadadezer, king of Zoab and Hamath, as he went to establish his dominion by the river Euphrates. So these are the Syrians. Now he's having victory over the Syrians. And David took from him 1,000 chariots. Now these guys, again, we were talking about physical nations that were against Israel. Today we're talking about warfare. War goes on. It'll always go on. And I was finding in James a very interesting two verses. You can just jot it down. In James 4, verse 1, he says, "For whence come wars and fightings among you?" James says, "Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your own members?" The sin in our own hearts. What keeps war going? Now, sometimes you can stop a war, an isolated, you know, country, and it just keeps coming up. And we keep on having wars. War continues. It'll always be here until the Prince of Peace comes. And then there won't be any more wars. But it comes from our own lust. You lust, James says, and you have not. You kill, you desire to have. You cannot obtain, you fight and war, and yet you have not because you ask not. And it's the ongoing thing of you know, wanting more territory, wanting to take over things, and just moving. These nations, again, are enemies of Israel, but we've got this lust for war here that continue to take us down in these days, just like back then. It was this war. So verse 4, David took from him 1,000 chariots from the Assyrians, and 7,000 horsemen, 20,000 footmen. David also noticed hamstrung or crippled the horses. And why would he do that to the horses? Why would he take out good horses and cause them not to be able to be used for war? Because when you became a king in Israel, you weren't to collect wives. That's not good. But David was one to do that. What did he? Because they wanted him to be like the other kings, and he collected wives. That got him in trouble. But you're not to collect horses either. That's one thing where Solomon went all out. He collected gold, he collected women, he collected horses by the multitudes. And he was half-hearted for the Lord. David said, no, I'm only going to have enough horses to do what I need to do as far as fighting these battles, and where I'm not going to collect them. I'm not going to get into that, because a horse was like a tank. When you had a tank, or you had two horses on a chariot, you had a tank, and you went to war. And every king counted how many tanks they had, just like today, the arsenal. But David said, no, I'm going to follow the Lord's word on this. Verse 5, and when the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, David slew of the Syrians 220,000 men. So this is major battles going on, major warfare. David is interesting in that God says, you can't build me a house. So David says, well, if I can't build you a house, Lord, what can I do? What am I? I'm a warrior, right? Does that mean that God's a warrior? Does that mean that God allows wars? I think so. There's a reason for wars. And you go, well, they're horrible. We shouldn't have wars. Let's not have wars anymore. Well, like I said, you're always going to have wars because of man's heart. And the basic root is sin, isn't it? Because we want this, or we want this land, we need this, we got to do this, we got to stop these guys from doing that. And so there's always going to be war. There's always going to be armies. So David says, well, if I can't build him a house and hang out here in Jerusalem, I guess I'll just go to battle and be a warrior. And man, he went to town. He had real bloody hands. And then David built garrisons in Syria, Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants. That's a good thing, you know, as slaves, really, and brought gifts. Thus the Lord, notice, preserved David whatsoever he went. Interesting. David was in God's hands. David was indestructible. Why? Because God was with David. And David wasn't going to be finished until God said he was finished. Did you know that you're indestructible until God's done with you? You are. And so it says that David, the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. He was with him. He was a man of faith. He believed God's word, but God saw his heart. And God stayed with him, and God gave him victory after victory after victory. Didn't the promises, the covenants and all that the Lord gave to Abraham, to Moses, and now to David come to pass? And God did that. They didn't do it. God allowed them to win over their enemies. Why? Because David cared about the presence of the Lord. David cared about the things of God. And God gave him victory. What does that say for our own individual personal lives? Where are you at with wanting the Lord to lead you and guide you and be Lord of your life and on your heart's throne and just taking all over and allowing you to be used of the Lord to fight battles, not only in your own life, but in your families? There's relationship problems throughout every one of our families. There's warfare in our homes with the teenagers today. Oh my gosh. They're getting so hard-hearted by this world and what they're watching and what they see in the little TVs that they carry around and what they're pulling in into their minds and into their own hearts. And they're seeing their other kids doing the same things and they're sharing it and they're trading it and they're getting into it. And as the parents sit back and go, I don't know what those kids are doing. They're just always in it. They won't put that thing down. It's dinner time, man. Put it down. I can't. I can't. It's bizarre. What is happening? We need to pray. We need to intercede. We are high priests. God has brought us into this special relationship, not so you can just, you know, watch it all fall apart and not see victory in your home and with your sons and daughters and your families. He called us to be kings and priests and to allow him to take over our lives so we can intercede and pray for them as he prays for us. And that's exactly what David's doing. And he's getting victory after victory. Lord, give us victory in our homes. Lord, give us victory in our schools. Lord, give us victory. We're just going to not quit praying until we see more and more victory and more young people coming into the church and receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior. More and more waking up to what's going on and what they're doing is killing them. And just really, the light has come and is visiting in the end times. And eyes are being opened, and people are bowing their hearts before the Lord.
Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine. He'll return momentarily. Today we have been in 1 Chronicles chapter 18. It's a message that goes by the title of Fighting God's Battle. Hey, to get today's study on CD, all you need to do is pick up the phone and call toll-free, 800-353-7553, and the suggested donation is $5. Again, 800-353-7553. You can also replay any program you enjoy at sounddoctrineradio.org, and listen to Pastor Jeff through our app. Search for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. With all that's been going on, don't you wonder how close we are to the Lord's return? Well, allow Pastor Jeff to show you how close in a wonderful DVD called End Times Scenario. It's our featured resource right now on Sound Doctrine, and it's based in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. To request this special offer for just $10, call 800-353-7553 or visit sounddoctrineradio.org. And if you could include a little extra, we'd sure appreciate it. It takes a team to bring Sound Doctrine to the radio every day, whether it's a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. God can use it in great ways to impact people with His life-changing truth. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Simply put, we enjoy hearing from you, our listeners. It never grows old. Email us today, won't you? sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And please also mention the station that you listen to and tell us what the Lord is doing in your life. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. As promised, now let's return to 1 Chronicles chapter 18.
Verse 7, and David took the shields of gold and were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. So David says, hey, I can't build the house, but I can sure prepare for it. I'm going to start gathering all kinds of materials for it. I'm going to get all the silver and all the gold that I'm taking from all these nations. I'm going to put it away. I'm going to get all the marble. I'm going to get all of the different building materials. I'm going to put it all away. And when that son comes to me, and I know who it is, and I anoint him as the king, he then will build the house. But he'll have everything ready because I'm going to have the God's already given the blueprints, and we're just going to lay it out, and I'm going to say, open the big garage and say, look, son, it's all there. You know, the money, everything you need to do what you need to do for the Lord. So that's what he's doing. He's collecting. Likewise, from the various places, the cities, David brought very much brass, because they need brass. Solomon made the, notice, the brazen sea. And that was that giant thing that where they would bathe in, and that they would come at the cattle. You can see there, they just let it, the water run out, and they would cleanse themselves and prepare themselves. So that's the brazen sea and the pillars and the vessels of brass. They needed a lot of brass to do what was eventually going to be done in Solomon's temple, and that they were huge. And the tabernacle was a lot smaller. It was very small. All of it made of brass.
Come back tomorrow when we'll have another study in 1 Chronicles for you here on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a daily presentation of Calvary Chapel, Downey.